So this morning it was a powerful lesson already to realize that you are the only person who is able to give God the praise that He deserves for all that He has done in your life. And you get to make the choice every day and every moment how much praise God will receive for your life. Whoa. Blessed be your name. The sun is shining or the clouds are dark. Whatever you go through, you get to decide how much praise God gets for your life. That is big. That is big. So let us every day make the right decision. Make the right decision, because God is worthy of our praise all the time. All the time. I am glad that you are here. I'm glad that you are here. I am very thankful for the snow and the rain and the melted snow. And I mean, I think the sun's shining already today. So, but God blessed us and also gave us clear roads to get here today. So it is wonderful. Wonderful. So I'm glad you made it. Glad you made it. Let's pray together and then let's take a look in the Word today. Our Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. And we exalt you above everything, because it's all yours. Everything that we see and everything that we have, it's a gift from you. And you are above everything. Father, we bless your name. We bless your name. And I pray, Lord, that you will make us that you will give us the kind of faith that blesses you in all situations, every day. Lord, you made us for praise. You made us to reflect your glory in your creation. You made us to bless and not curse. Father, let us take this awesome and humbling responsibility serious every single day. Open the eyes of our hearts to see how good you are and all the good that you do. And Father, may we always focus on your blessings. May we not be distracted by looking in any other direction. Father, we thank you for redeeming us from our sins. We thank you for allowing us to be able to say that we are redeemed, that we are forgiven, that we are loved, that we are saved. Father, we thank you for sending your Son to die in our place and to pay the price for everything bad that we have done, and to give us his righteousness. Father, as we study your scriptures this morning, as we look closely at Jesus, I pray that we will be strengthened and encouraged to walk in his steps, to follow his example and enjoy the blessings that you provide that can only be received by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Chester got us started in the first few verses, and this is where we're going to take a look today in our active pursuit of Christ. Colossians chapter 2. Now, here's the theme. Here's where we're going. The Apostle Paul here in this letter, and specifically in this chapter, help us pursue faith in Christ and not self-righteousness. The Apostle Paul in this letter is going to pursue Jesus in our lives of faith from the correct stance, from the correct point of view, from the correct position, if you will, that our lives need to be in. And here's the amazing thing, is if you are a believer in Jesus, you are not actively pursuing him from a place of emptiness or want. If you are a child of God, you are not reaching out as though something is beyond your grasp or something is being withheld from you. As a child of God, you are learning every single day that what faith looks like is understanding the blessings that God has already made possible and granted to us. He still requires faith. He still requires faith, but we are learning how to take hold of what He has granted and deemed to already be our possession. So this morning, I hope that we can get a little closer of taking hold of those things that God has already richly blessed us with. Colossians chapter 2, this chapter really does a great job of putting all this together. But here's the key. Here's the key. I want us to walk away from this chapter and this study with a better understanding of what is already ours. A better understanding of what is already ours. Okay? This is going to make a big difference. Colossians chapter 2. I won't reread all the chapters, but I want you to take a look at verse 2 and 3. Colossians chapter 2. Paul says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Paul says, look, church, believers, I want you to reach all the riches that are found in Christ. Now, again, this fits in with our active pursuit, right? He is encouraging us to reach these things. So there is an effort on our part, and we're going to take a look at that effort. There is an effort on our part to grasp and take hold of everything He has blessed us with in Jesus Christ. There's not another source for blessing that can match what we have been given through Jesus. There is not any other direction or any other place that you and I can look and say, oh, well, this blessing will suffice me, or this blessing will satisfy me. No, they won't. Because God's blessings are given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul here writes to believers, writes to Christians, and he says, I want you to reach out. I want you to grasp. I want you to take hold of everything that God is offering to you. And I want you to reach all the riches of full assurance and understanding and the knowledge of Him. He wants us to have more of Him, in simplest terms. He wants us to have more of Him in our lives. And we want that too. We want today to be better than yesterday. We want tomorrow to be better than today. I want my next year, if the Lord allows it, to be better than my last year. I want to be closer and closer to my goal. And it's such an encouraging thing that, to reach all the riches of Christ, the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I've mentioned this before, but you know this to be true. And, let me ask you this question. No names, you don't have to raise your hand. But have you ever known someone that had stronger faith than you? Have you ever known someone that says, wow, that is an example of faith. I wish I had that kind of faith. Have you ever known someone that had weaker faith than you? So, again, this is our active pursuit of Christ. It's about our faith. And we all of us can have more faith. We can all be more faithful than we are right now. We can all enjoy and take part of more blessings that God has to offer us than we're enjoying right now. The Christian walk, the Christian life, being redeemed and having eternity put into our hearts means that we are constantly grasping and enjoying more and more and more of what God has to offer. There is no end, right? There is no limit. You and I don't, we're going to go to church again. We're going to sing something. They're going to say something. We're going to pray something. But it's just same thing. Well, that's a question of your faith. That's a question of your faith. Just like our worship and praise. The songs that we sing to God. How much we sing and with what gusto and with what applause that God receives. It's up to you. It's up to me. We are free to offer Him that response to what He has done for us. Every single one of us. We are free to take hold by faith everything that He has made known in Jesus Christ. Now, church, we are pursuing the faith of Jesus. And we see His life in the flesh where He trusted the Father, and He knew everything that the Father had to give, and He took hold of it. He took hold of it. I was putting our study together this week, and I thought of, and we've read these before, so I didn't want to go back and read them all again, but it just struck me all the times in which Jesus looks at the people around them, and He just tells them, your faith is small. Why is your faith so small? I mean, wasn't it last week that we talked about Peter walking on the water? And you and I go, what, small faith? Are you kidding me? To step out of the boat and walk on water to Jesus? That doesn't seem small to me, right? That seems big. And Jesus says, well, that's a little thing. And when He raised His friend Lazarus from the dead, it was a done deal. It was happening. But He talked to Lazarus' sisters, right? And He says, hey, you know I can do this, right? you know what's about to happen. And of course, yes, Lord. You are Jesus, I get it. And someday, I'll be reunited with my loved one. And He's like, no, today. Today's the day. This is happening. All of these times in which Jesus knows where He comes from, what He is supposed to do, and where He is going, and He knows that the Father is with Him every step of the way. Now, look what He says. Turn over to John chapter 8. Turn over to John chapter 8, and we'll receive some encouragement here. John 8:28. John 8:28, Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. And as He was saying these things, many believed Him. Verse 31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So here is Jesus. He's got some friends. He's got some enemies. His friends are going to desert Him. His enemies are going to get the better of Him. And He says to everyone, look, here's what I know. Here's what I know, is that no matter what happens to me in my life, I will never be alone because my Father in heaven is with me. And what's His evidence of knowing that no matter His circumstances, no matter what He faces, no matter what He must endure, what is His evidence that the Father is with Him? He says, because I do the things that He tells me to do. If we are being faithful to God, God will not leave us. If we live our lives faithful to God, it does not matter how difficult or how painful that it gets in the path, God is with us. And then He connects everybody else with that too, right? He says, that's true freedom. And if you become my disciple, you're going to know this truth. And that truth will set you free. That means you can love with abandon. You can forgive with abandon. You can sacrifice yourself without barrier or fear or worry. Because your Father will not leave you. And that's the faith that we want to emulate, copy. pattern our lives after is the same faith of Jesus that says, hey, we're going to Jerusalem, and guess what? They're going to kill me. But it's okay, because the Father's with me, and He's going to restore me. I do what He says to do, and it is all going to be okay. I mean, how many times in our life do we forget this? How many times in our life do we look at the wind and the wave, and we look at the problem, and we go, oh, that's too big. I can't see a solution for this, so I'm going to worry about it. At least I can do that. I can't see a way through this dark day or this situation, so I'm going to be afraid. I can't possibly see what God has going on in my life right now. I don't know where this is going, so I'm going to fall apart. I'm going to worry. I'm going to complain. I can't believe God makes me work or live or have these neighbors or be surrounded by all this darkness. So I'm just going to close shop. I'm going to make my heart cold because of all the sin that is around me. And I'm no longer going to reach out to anyone else because, you know, I got my hand bit for trying to do something good. Fool me once and such. And all that horrible theology that we create for ourselves. The faith of Jesus says the Father is with me always because I do what He says for me to do. So I don't have to worry because He is with me. Church, we've got to have that kind of faith. The Creator of all things is with us and will not leave us. He will not desert us. So we can trust Him enough to do what He says. That's the fullness. That's the truth. That's freedom. That's freedom. Your sins are forgiven. You died the only death that you're going to die in the waters of baptism. And after that, you were reborn. New life, new creation. Now, if some sickness takes this body, that's a nap. It's not death. Why? Because the same thing happened with Jesus. They put His body to an end, and what happened? The Father called Him up. The first fruits of the resurrection that all of us look forward to. So if I'm not afraid of the consequences of sin because Jesus tasted death for everybody, if I am not afraid of death because I have already died and been born again, never to see corruption, what am I afraid of? And Jesus says, if you know that truth just sets you free. Think how much time and energy we spent in fear and worry. Think how much time our hearts within us are just shaken up or just not at rest and not at ease because how's this going to turn out? I don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what it's going to look like. Right? We know what the end looks like, but we don't know what every step is going to look like, but that's kind of the fun. That's kind of the fun. God's always taking us to new places, new people. Think about the situations you've been in because of your faith. Been in some crazy situations because of your faith? Yeah, that's exciting. I would have never put myself here. I would have never spoken to that person. I would have never been here if it wasn't for Jesus. Exactly, that's the point. That's the point, because God, when we allow Him to lead our lives, it sets us free to go wherever He wants us to be. And where He wants us to be is filled with blessings, the fullness of Christ. That's a good place to be. So we are always, always reaching for that kind of faith. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to read the next section. So verse 2, Colossians 2:2 says, we are reaching. Now we're going to pick it up in verse 8. Because we are not reaching from a place of want or emptiness, we are reaching from a place of fullness. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Hey, you know that song, Be Careful Little Ears? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. I mean, that's what Paul's saying. He said, careful what you listen to, and make sure that whatever you're aligning yourself, that it's actually from Jesus, okay? Because a lot of people say a lot of things. And if it's not from Jesus, it is an, what does he call it? An elemental spirit? Yeah. You know what that is, right? That is something not from God. That is earthly. Not good. Not good. He says, you make sure that you are following the truth that is given in Christ. Verse 9. For in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. All of God lived in all of him. And here's the key, all right? Here's the one that I highlighted. I actually bracketed this whole section. And here's what you need to underline. Verse 10. And you have been filled in him. You've been filled. You have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So church, what does it mean to be filled in Christ or filled with Christ? What does that mean? We are pursuing his faith. We are actively pursuing the faith of Jesus, but not from a place of emptiness. We are pursuing the faith of Jesus from a place of fullness, of having everything that God makes available to anyone through his Son. And if you ever get to questioning, okay, well, you know, what has Jesus really done for me? What fullness has he really given me? Well, Paul goes on to explain it and describe it, doesn't he? He said, well, he took your old life of sin and he removed it. He took all the mistakes that you have made in your life that stood against you and made you guilty, and he did what with it? Nailed it to the cross. And he let Jesus suffer for you. He let his own beloved begotten Son die for everything bad that you did. So that by faith, when we look at Christ and when the Father looks at us, he says, I'm giving you the credit of my Son. I'm giving you the standing of my Son. You can actually be in my presence because of the Son. And that is the faith that we are seeking every single day. We are reaching. I want to be more like Jesus, because that's how we say it simply. I want to be more like Jesus. Well, how do we need to be more like Jesus? With his faith. We need to have the faith of Jesus, knowing what the Father has done, what the Father is doing, and what the Father is going to do, and trusting that no matter what our life looks like. And again, scoffers may say, well, yeah, but Jesus was there first, and so he knew what it was going to look like, and he knew he had to go to the cross, and he knew he was going to die, so he was prepared. But when, oh, Michael, when things happen to me and I have a difficult customer, I'm just not prepared. When family members don't treat me right or not very nice or things don't go my way, I'm just I'm not prepared. Or when I try to be nice to someone and they bite my hand and they just, they're mean to me and they talk behind my back and, oh, I'm just not prepared. When Jesus called you, did he not prepare you? I mean, he was pretty clear. What does he say? Hey, people are going to hate you because of me. It's pretty clear. Hey, some of your enemies? Yeah, family members, sorry. Not everyone's going to be happy with your decision to trust me. That's what Jesus tells those who would follow him. Oh, he prepared us plenty. So we can have the same faith that he does. I'm going to trust the Father through this. Jesus trusted the Father through everything he went through. I'm going to trust the Father through everything I am going through. So increase my faith. Increase my faith. But increase my faith from a place of fullness. Turn over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Now, church, if we are going to live our life from the fullness that God has given us in Jesus Christ, we have to remember that we are following in the steps of Jesus from a place, I mean, Paul says from a place of fullness. We need to understand we are living our lives from a place of victory. We live our lives from a place of victory. He says, hey, you won. Now go get it. That's a lot different than someone saying, hey, you know, do your best. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but, you know, try real hard. That's not what God says. God says, you've already won. Now go get it. That's a great place to be. It's a great place to be. In Mark chapter 8, let's go down to 14. Because Jesus gives this weird little warning here to his disciples. And you remember in Mark chapter 8, in the gospel story, Jesus has just fed the crowds, right? They got a little bit of bread, a couple fish, lots and plenty. And then he teaches a lot of stories about this, and he gets on to some of them because they're chasing him because, hey, this guy's feeding people, so let's just go get free lunch. And so he gets on to some of them. And then here in Mark chapter 8, even after he multiplies all that food, they're going along, and those that are closest to him, his disciples are like, hey, who was responsible for packing? Didn't do a great job. We don't have that much food. He's just like, seriously? Now, I can look at that and I can make fun of them, but I do the same thing every day. I forget that it is Jesus that I'm following, and whatever I need, he's going, seriously? I'm the Son of God. I'm with you. I'm taking care of you. What are you worried about? I'm the Son of God. I'm with you. The Father loves you just like I love you. How much more proof do you need? I died on the cross for you. You can trust me. The Father loves you because you're obedient to him. You heard the news about his son and you put your faith in that completely and said, I'm in. I want it. I want it all. And Jesus looks at us and goes, what are you worried about money for? You're with me. What are you worried about your bills? What? You're with me. What are you worried about your health for? It starts to get real, doesn't it? It starts to get real because that's where we are and that's who we are. Because we look at them. Let's read the verse 14. Now they had forgotten to bring bread and they only had one loaf with them in the boat. Oh no. We're following Jesus and there's not enough. Look, I can laugh at them, but I'm the exact same way. Oh, I see my schedule and see who's on it for tomorrow. Oh, Lord. Or you got that one class that's going to happen at 10:35 every day, and you go, Or you got that one activity or that one person in your life, or you got that one debt that's sitting right there, that one, whatever it is, and we just go, oh, there's not going to be enough, or it's not going to go well, or it's not going to be good. And Jesus is just going, seriously, guys? Seriously? What are we missing here? And that he says to them, verse 15, and he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. I love that, and I'm gonna let you in on a little thing today, okay? Leaven. Leaven is something very small you put in bread, right? Yeah. Okay? And a little leaven goes a long way, right? And he says, I want you to be careful of two types of leaven. What was the first leaven to watch out for? The Pharisees' leaven. And what was the Pharisees' problem? I'm going to do good and God is going to love me. That was their problem. I follow all the rules and God accepts me. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. And church, you and I need to hear that very clearly today, right now. We have got to be careful of self-righteousness. Because it is a trap that you and I are very prone to. I'm a good Christian. I'm doing all the right things. God loves me. He's going to save me. Nope. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, also beware of the leaven of Herod. Herod. You remember Herod? What's Herod known for? What's his big thing? I mean, the first big thing. There were like two big things, but what's the first big thing? What did he do wrong? What was his major sin? What did Herod do? Do what? Yeah, that was the second one. That's the second one. What was the first one? Why did John go talk to Herod? Yeah, exactly. He crossed a boundary he was not supposed to cross. Okay? He did something bad he was not allowed to do. And John went and called him out for it, right? And so then Herod had John killed. So Jesus is saying, look, it just takes a little bit of self-righteousness and thinking that your salvation is about your good works and you are in trouble. And it just takes a little bit of worldly thinking and trying to fix things yourself and you're in a little bit of trouble. Be careful. Be careful. That's our warning. That is our warning. Okay? So this comes across to us, and Jesus says, beware of this leaven. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12, and the 7 for the 4,000. How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And then he said to them, do you not yet understand? So here's what Jesus is saying to them, and this is what I hope we get into our hearts, that Jesus takes care of everything for us. So I don't fall into the trap of thinking that I've got something to do with my own salvation, and I don't fall into the trap thinking that God's not going to provide and I have to do something evil or I have to hurt somebody to get what I need. Both of those places are death traps. And that is not where you want to be. It's a fantastic warning. So, as I am actively pursuing the faith of Jesus, I am not pursuing from a place of emptiness. I am pursuing with the fullness of Christ. Reading that reminds me of Luke chapter 15. Remember the lost things? The three lost things? The last one, I mean, in your Bible it says, the prodigal son. Man had two boys. The older stays in the house. He stays faithful. The younger says, hey, I want my inheritance now. He's basically saying, hey, Dad, I wish you were dead because all you are is your money. So let me have it. And the father actually gives it to him. And he goes, and what does he do with it? The leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod. He goes out and he squanders it and wastes it on all sinful, nasty, dirty stuff. And the oldest son, he stays at home. He's the leaven of the Pharisees. And so the young son comes back and he's broken. And he ruined his life. And he comes back and he goes, this is insane. I mean, he was eating pig slop. Okay? And he goes, my father in his house, he's got slaves that at least get 3 square meals and have a place to sleep. I'm going to come back and beg for a job. Not even to be a son. I don't deserve that. I'm just going to beg for a job. And he goes back and the father what? Yeah, he runs out to meet him, he throws his arms around him, he gives him his ring, gives him his robe, you're back, let's throw a party. And then of course the leaven of the Pharisees is sitting up there going, hey, what's all that? Hey, your brother's back and your dad's throwing a party. Party? He doesn't deserve a party. I deserve a party.
I've never done anything wrong. I'm always here at church services. I'm the faithful one. I'm always serving the Lord. There are no questions of my faith. Who's throwing me a party? And the father says, son, you kidding me? You have been faithful, and everything that I have is yours. Following Christ, a lot of us are following from a place of emptiness and not fullness. We look up at God and go, hey, why is my situation not better? God, why are you not providing this for me? Why am I not seeing your blessings? And a lot of times the Lord's looking at us going, what are you talking about? You have all of my blessings. What are you not enjoying? What do you not have? What do you need? It's all yours. It's all yours. So don't fall into the trap of the leaven of the Pharisees, and don't fall into the trap of the leaven of Herod. Jesus has given you everything. He has given you everything. So our actively pursuing Jesus is just trusting him more. That's what it is. It's not I'm going, oh, well, maybe if I'm good enough, Jesus will give me this good thing. Maybe if I'm sorry enough that Jesus will answer this prayer. Or maybe if I feel guilty enough, then God will make me one of his, special, and I'll really know that I'm saved. Did Paul not say in Colossians chapter 2, hey, make sure that your theology is based on Jesus and not other demonic things? Because all those other things are other demonic things. Don't do that. Let's turn back to Colossians 2. There's a third section of this chapter. We need to get it. Okay, so the first section, we are reaching out to all the riches that Christ has to offer. The second section, we are doing so from a place of fullness. It's all ours. If you are in the house of the Lord and you are not having a party, it is on you, not him. Just like the older son in Luke chapter 15. You're in my house, boy. You've been here. Why are you not enjoying everything I have to offer? That's on you. We're hearing that, right? That's what the father says to the older son in Luke chapter 15. It's exactly what the apostle Paul is writing to Christians. If you are not enjoying everything God has to offer, it's not because God's not offering it. God has offered it to everybody, and you will enjoy what you take hold of. Bottom line. Here's the third section. I'm in verse 16. Colossians 2:16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind. All right, here it is, verse 19. This is the important one, okay? Here it is. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Verse 19, there it is. We must hold fast and grow. Paul just brings them both together and goes, this is how it works. We hold on to what we have been given and we keep on growing. That's exactly what he just said in the first two parts of this chapter that we have. So he has said we are coming from a place of fullness and we are reaching for more. For more what? For more faith. For more trust in the Father. For knowing that, oh no, I don't have enough money. Whatever are we going to do? Oh, wait a minute. I'm a child of God. God loves me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to see me through this. He will provide. So I don't have to worry. I can just be obedient to him. I can think about other people. Because what is all worry? Why is it so bad? Well, number one, it's a spit in the face of God. You're his child. He loves you. And when we worry and when we fear and when we deal from not enough, number one, we hurt other people to get what we think we need or what we deserve. And number two, it just shows a lack of faith that God's not going to come through. I mean, anybody sitting here this morning and God has not come through? No one's even like, forget that. I'm not raising my hand. I'm not jumping in that. You've got me before, Michael. I'm not doing that. No one has the guts to say that. But you know why? Because it's not true. God always comes through. He always comes through. Sometimes it's in His timing. And sometimes that gift does not look like the gift we asked for. Right? The Spirit intercedes in our prayers. God, I need you to fix this problem. And guess what? Sometimes I'm the problem. God, I need you to remove this obstacle. And sometimes I'm the obstacle. And He's got to remove me and get me out of the way. So He humbles me. It was like a couple weeks ago. Brandon said, I may start praying for patience. We thought twice about it. We didn't go there. We didn't go there. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes we say, God, here's what I need. Here's what I want you to do. And He goes, yeah, you think that's what you need, but this is really what you need if your goal is more like Christ. And sometimes God just answers in ways, and we're like, well, God didn't answer that prayer. He didn't take care of that problem. Yeah, He did. Yeah, He did. He's either taking care of it, He's given you a new heart not to worry about it, or it's in the works. I mean, that's kind of where we started this morning. Everything that God has done, is doing, and will do. The question then becomes, do I trust God to do it? Do I trust God to do it? Yes. Yes. Because I am reaching for the faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus says, hey, I'm going to the cross, but it's okay. I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going. The Father will not leave me. It may sting. It may hurt. It may break my heart, but the Father is with me. So I get to decide how much praise He gets today. I get to decide how much to glorify Him today because He is good. My circumstances may not be good, but He is good. So I'll praise Him. I'll praise Him. Hold fast while growing. Church, we have got to stay connected to Christ. That's what holding fast to the head is. We stay connected to Christ because He is our salvation and He is our life. And we grow in faith from God as we trust Him more. Let's close out in Luke chapter 17. Last point, Luke chapter 17. Then you can wrestle with Colossians 2 this week. Luke chapter 17. All right, Kevin, this one's for you. I didn't know Kevin was going to be here this morning. Luke chapter 17. Verse 1, he says to his disciples, hey, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. Don't be a stumbling block to others. That's his warning. Woe. Woe. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. That's some pretty rough imagery. But that's how serious he is about it. Don't be a stumbling block for someone else trying to be faithful to God. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I know you've been there. I've been there. I've been there. And Jesus said, yeah, you boy, get some chain, get a rock. Don't do it. So it's kind of a pretty serious imagery. So in verse 3, he says, pay attention to yourselves. Pay attention, right? How often do we just say and do things without even thinking? We just react. That's the flesh. That's not the Spirit. Somebody brings something to us and we just go, oh, here's my earthly wisdom. This is what you need to do. Or someone comes to us and they tell us what they're going through and we go, oh, that's terrible. Is it? We don't even know enough if it's terrible or not, do we? No. I don't know what God's trying to do in their life. What should my reaction be? My spiritual reaction. You know what? I'm going to pray for you. I am going to pray that God either sees you through it or opens your eyes to what you need to see through it. Why are we as spiritual people not being spiritual? We just jump on the bandwagon of, oh, that is awful. Oh, you're right. They're nasty. Ooh, they're my enemy too. Oh, I hate it when that happens. Why? Why do we jump to the flesh so quickly? Why? Are we filled with Christ? Are we pursuing Christ? Or do we just say some words and get a church bath at one point and whatever? What are we doing? What are we doing? All right, I'm getting to it, Kevin. Let's see. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Okay, well, that's not always easy, but you must, Jesus says. Verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Increase our faith. And Jesus says, look, if you really knew what was at your disposal, if you really knew the fullness that Jesus is offering, and you pursued that, and nothing got in the way of that, look, there's no stopping you. There's no stopping you. So, church, we are actively pursuing Christ and his ends, but we are doing so from a place of fullness. Look, if I could boil down today's lesson, here's what it is. As Christians, you and I are just trying to figure out the user's manual for the gift we've already received. We are not asking God to give us something that he has been withholding. We are asking God for us to better understand what is ours. You are a child of God. Sometimes you're that unfaithful child of God roaming around in the world, being unfaithful with what he's given you and squandering it. And sometimes you're that unfaithful child of God sitting right in the house going, well, I can't believe them. Well, look at the mess they've made. Well, that's not fair. I don't have that. God's got a lot of children. Don't be those two. Be a faithful child of God that says, I trust God with everything. I trust God in everything. I trust God wherever he wants me to go. Why? Because he's filled me. He's given me every blessing through Jesus Christ. I want for nothing. It doesn't matter that there's only one piece of bread in the fridge. I'm with Jesus. Jesus is the one that makes bread. Better than I do. Right? Do you not yet understand? Yes, we understand. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. Let's walk in it this week. So, if you are not a Christian and you don't have all of this, the fullness of God in Jesus Christ, we invite you to come. We invite you to die now so that you can live forever. We invite you to die to your sin and yourself and be filled with Christ so that you don't have to have these worries anymore. And church, if you've already died to yourself and you're not following like that, it's time to take a look. It's time to be honest. It's time to be honest. It's from a place of fullness. This is not a guilt lesson. This is a you are leaving too much on the table lesson. Take hold. Take hold, because every good gift and every spiritual blessing comes down from the Father. He loves you. He'll never leave you.